Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Met Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Jay's Place. I am Jay Flemma of the Golf News Net Radio Network. Thank you, DJ Q, for bringing us back from break. Thank you also to Ryan Ballengee, our producer. And big thank you also to Bud Preske, who's still with us. Came in the last segment of the show, and she's going to join us for our next segment as well. Hey, Barb.
Hi, Jay. How are you? Hi, Ellen.
Great, thanks. And joining us also for this extra segment, we have Alan Ranowski, the past president of the PGA of America and still the honorary president of the PGA of America, but he's also one of the directors of public relations for the Folds of Honor Foundation. And so we've brought Alan in to talk a little bit more about Folds of Honor in general, and then he and Barb can add a little bit about how Crestwood is going to be having a Folds of Honor tournament in just a few days. So, Alan, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Jay, and Barb, good to meet you by radio.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope everybody's having a beautiful golf day.
Well, we're definitely having a beautiful golf day here. There isn't a cloud in the sky. It's an azure blue, and the players here at Crestwood are making their way around. A lot of them came in for post nine holes after work, and a bunch of them are also here for leagues. So it really is a beautiful story, the resurrection of this golf course, Alan. You know, just a few years ago, it was like a lost city, overgrown with brush and, tee boxes missing, greens that had shrunk. It really was like having to take a machete and go charging through the jungles of the Paten just to get to your golf ball and make it down the hole. And now the course has not only resurrected itself to its former glory, but many are saying that it's even better than it's been before. And it's all because of Steve Nazowitz and his beautiful wife, Barb, and the sweat equity of a lot of good-hearted people in this community. It seems like this really is what golf is all about.
Well, it is, and looking at the website, just my heartfelt congratulations to you, Barb, and your husband, Steve, for what you've done, what you've accomplished in a relatively short period of time, too.
Well, thank you, Alan.
Not only was I excited to hear about the Folds event, but seeing all that you're doing for the growth of the game initiatives, which certainly my PGA ties have meant a lot to me with the Kids Golf Ready, the junior leagues and junior participation that you're running. You're changing lives in a very impactful way. So congratulations and thank you.
Thank you. And most importantly, it's fun because golf is a lot of fun, too.
You know, that changing lives really is true on so many levels. You know, in some ways, it's proof that the old adage that you can't go home is wrong because they were able to bring this course back. And so many people that had been here for so many decades that had given up on it now can return home. It was even a bit of a sort of homecoming for you and Steve, Barb. I mean, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely it was. You know, Steve, if you look at the club champion boards, right smack dab in the middle of the boards is Steve's name. The 2 years prior to him turning pro, this is where he fine-tuned his craft. And you know, Steve kind of condensed all his golf learning within a couple years and went pro right after that. And so it has a lot of nostalgia to us, and we're glad it's a part of our future, too.
Well, I got to tell you, now you're going to have to show me those boards, because unless I'm very much mistaken, I think my name appears on there twice for the junior club champion.
Well, then you're going to be real excited. The boards are not present at the moment because we're unveiling a whole new slew of club champion boards as part of our latest renovation. So as soon as those are ready, we'll let you know.
Oh, and I will be your front center to celebrate that. But other bits of wisdom, you know, are that miracles can happen at the muni level, too. It's not just rich country clubs, you know, that are to be the big story for a big ticket restoration, but the true resurrection. I choose that word with precision. A course that teetered on the edge of NLE no longer exists. Not only rescued, but thriving. You know, people say that golf is suffering in America. Crestwood is exhibit A, that it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. People come here, they have an inexpensive round of golf, they have a great time. I know they appreciate the great amount of width because they lose less balls and they play more quickly and their score is just a little bit better. It's easier on the amateurs, but just as hard on the pros because they're not going to hit it to the places where the amateurs do.
Well, Well, you know, I think it's important to know, when Steve and I bought Crestwood, Steve and I both come from private clubs. Steve was the club pro at a private club for over 20 years. Our whole mission in purchasing Crestwood was to provide a private club experience at more of a daily fee rate. So we really strive to deliver the same amenities that someone would get at a private club. You know, we have the member events, we have the demo days, we have lockers. We do all of that kind of customer service and amenities that people want. We do lessons and custom club fitting, but we just wanted to provide it, you know, more to the masses to make it more of a daily fee price. And, you know, the model seems to work.
And one of the things you're going to be doing this weekend is having a Folds of Honor tournament. So, Alan, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Folds of Honor's raison d'etre is, how it came about, and what's going on this year in particular?
8 years ago, Major Dan Rooney, an F-16 pilot, had completed his second tour of duty in Iraq. And he was flying to his parents' home and facility to play in a fundraiser for a fallen soldier. And he went by first class and he saw a corporal in dress uniform and he wondered what was so special about this young man or if somebody had traded his seat for one privilege. When they landed late at night, the captain came on the PA system and asked everyone to remain seated. Corporal Brad Buckland, the identical twin brother of Corporal Buck Buckland, had traveled 7,000 miles to bring the remains of his twin brother home to his family. And Dan looked out the window and said he had never seen war from that aspect to it as they brought out the Mike Drake coffin. And he saw the Buckland family on the darkest night of their life, and he saw a little 4-year-old Jacob Buckland who would never get to take that to his father or be told a bedtime story or get driven to school. And Dan realized that was a moment of synchronicity, that it was chance and purpose coming together, that he had a mission besides what he was doing. So he created the Folds of Honor Foundation, which creates scholarships for the children and spouses of our heroes who have been killed or disabled. Over the 8 years, some great fundraising efforts. I'll get back to that in a minute. And Dan's also a PGA professional, so he came to the PGA of America when I was secretary of the PGA, talking about a Patriot Golf Day kickoff. And ability to raise funds. First year we raised a little over $500,000, and last year Patriot Golf Day actually raised $5.4 million. Total over the 8 years, we've raised a little over $50 million and given over 10,000 scholarships. We have Patriot Golf Days where we ask for the portion of the green fees or carts be donated to the Folds. Auctions, silent or live auctions. Raffles, some of our PGA professionals do marathons, and certainly like the event that you're going to have there, we have over 460 events around the country that help raise events and make greater awareness of what the mission is. We've also added Patriot Bowling Day, Patriot Rain Day. This year was the first time ever that a non-for-profit was in the title of an SRA of honor to Trip Atlanta 500. So a lot of great things happening. This year we'll give out another $12.5 million. And the only disappointing fact that I can give is that we're going to be about $4 million short in all the requests that we've gotten. So the need is great and it's growing. And everyone at the Folds works hard and tries to, you know, be so appreciative of what Barb and Steve are doing to help us make sure no family's left behind.
I don't know if you realize, you know, I'm trying to think, Alan, what the chronology was, but our introduction to the Folds took place at the Boston meeting. So I think that would have been about 6 years ago.
Right.
And at that time, so Steve and I went to the Boston meeting. Steve at that point was just joining the Central New York PGA Board of Directors. And we went to dinner with Tony Beata, who at that time was president of the Central New York PGA. And joining us for dinner was Major Dan Rooney. So, you know, Tony was very enthusiastic. He was, you know, telling us Dan's story, and, you know, we were very taken with Dan. He's a wonderful man. He's very kind, and in addition to providing, you know, leadership to this great organization. So you know, unbeknownst to us, you know, next thing you know, a year later, Tony leaves his position as president of the Central New York PGA to lead the Patriot Day Golf Tournament in Oklahoma, in the Patriot portion of this endeavor. So we went to Oklahoma, participated in Patriot Day Golf there, the big national event, and ended up purchasing Crestwood and, you know, decided, okay, well, we can be a part of this effort now, too. So this is our third year. Our first year we raised, oh, I think it was $26,000 net. Last year we net $27,000, and we have our event this Saturday, so the ink isn't dry yet. I hope we can keep upping the ante and come in closer to $30,000, and it'd be exciting. And it's a great, you know, it's a great way for us to get Tony here and visit with him, too.
What are some of the special events that will be happening on the golf course during the tournament?
You know, it's a phenomenal. First of all, it's important. This tournament's had a waiting list since we started it 3 years ago. And a big part of that is we do a lot of equipment business, so our vendors all come full force. You know, we are giving away a Peretti putter for a long drive contest. We give away Oakley sunglasses for long drives. Ping drivers is our first place prize. It's just the prizes are tremendous, but on top of that, you know, there's so much support from the Folds of Honor to help you be successful. So we've been able to do some really unique things. We have an autographed pink Bubba driver that we're doing a silent auction on. We have the Titleist Folds of Honor bag that we're doing another silent auction on. Bridgestone has a beautiful patriotic bag that we have that we're auctioning. And, you know, certainly we'll do other raffle tickets. One of our local jewelry stores gives us like a $1,000 gift card, and we raffle those. And on top of that, we do a $10,000 putting contest.
Okay, Alan, what more would you like to add about what's coming up in the future for Folds of Honor?
Well, certainly Labor Day is the big push we put on for the Patriot Golf Days, and you'll see a lot of advertisements on TV and radio. Certainly, any day is a great day to be a patriot, and as we see, Crestwood's going to do theirs this coming weekend. So just really keep an eye out for different events that we have. Simple ask for all your audience. Please check out our Facebook page. Our website with www.foldsofhonor.org. Look at our Facebook page and please like us and follow us on Twitter. The more followers and likes we get, the easier it is to bring in partners like Budweiser, Outback, Quick Trip, and so many more.
How about Crestwood, Bob? What's coming up for the rest of the year and in the near future for the golf course?
Well, we have a lot of exciting events ahead of us. You know, certainly our club championship, which sounds like it's near and dear to you, Jay, is on the horizon. And nice little member clam bake coming up, and of course the end of our season always culminates with a nightmare scramble, which we let our superintendent unleash his angst, and he gets to put these crazy hard pin placements on the course, and the people have a great time with that tournament.
I'll tell you, a lot of the members are going to be upset with me because, you know, the my puckish sense of humor got the best of me, and I told Steve about a little trick a pal of mine out at Black Mesa pulled. Eddie Peck, the owner of Black Mesa, is a pal, and he's pleased his to complain like Nancy Kerrigan about some of the pin placements. So on the 10th hole of the superintendent's event, he actually had the pin cut 4 paces off the back of the green in the rough and deliberately positioned himself to be one group in front so we could see his friend's reaction.
Oh, my God.
I'm hoping we can do another thing. And, Alan, you'll get a kick out of this, too, okay? My creative side getting the best of me. I know I told Barb this story, but one day when I came up, it was raining. You know, not badly. It was a warm sprinkle. You know, it was a holiday. Everybody else was gone. And I had the course absolutely positively to myself. It was one of those days where you go on Facebook before you see up, you say, I'm going to play golf in this. You know, and everybody goes, oh, like, you know, they know what you mean. And I ended up playing, Alan, cross-country golf. I would tee off on one hole, but I'd go the wrong way down an adjacent fairway and cut across to another green. And I was able to jigsaw puzzle piece together, you know, or hopscotch, if you like the term, a really cool 9-hole sort of, you know, par 46-ish for routing that incorporates wholesale sections of the golf course and takes you down fairways and across landscape you never got to see before. And it was really exciting and fun to play. So I throw the bug in your ear to have a cross-country day as well. You know, it's one of those things that ordinarily don't try this at home, folks, you know, especially with the course being crowded. I don't recommend, you know, you try to jump over the trees and skip across the fairway with people playing. But if you do catch a rainy day, it's something fun and interesting to do. And it was very much like, you know, my favorite type of golf, Open Championship golf, links golf. Crestwood plays fast and firm. Crestwood has wonderful movement vertically in the fairways with its undulations. It also has terrific horizontal movement of the holes, creating a lot of great diagonal angles. You know, it's a strategic marvel that, Alan, you really should come up and play, you know, and marvel at this really, really fun little place, but more importantly at how the entire community has embraced it. And, of course, you can't leave, you know, the Utica area without having some long hops and some greens. You know, does that sound good?
Sounds good. I want the invite now.
Yeah, I don't know. The invite comes. We went to Alan's outgoing dinner, and the food down where he is in Maryland was pretty amazing, so we'd have to do some trading there because that was some good stuff.
There you go. You bring up a big batch of blue crabs for all of us.
That's right.
But the other great thing about it is it does seal very much at places like an Open Championship golf course. So that segues us perfectly into, Alan, what were your thoughts on the Open Championship that just finished up?
Oh, I'll tell you what, it's been a great year for all the majors with a lot of the storylines, the competitions, the drama at the end. Certainly with the Jordan Spieth, with Zach Johnson, just so many good lines. And what an exciting playoff. I was driving back from West Virginia, so I listened to it on my radio. Certainly having a vested interest in the PGA Championship would have been awful cool if we could have seen that young man vying for the last leg of the slam, but
that's the same thing I said. It's an exciting story.
Yeah. But Jay, you said something in the beginning. Golf is actually in a good place. And Tom Watson said in his interview last week, championship golf, a little bit with the player base is a concern, but National Golf actually reported that women's participation has been up the last 2 years. Junior participation has increased by 700,000. In the last 2 years, we saw a leveling off on the number of players. The number of days open last year were less than normal, but the average spend for people that were out there and the amount of time that they were out there when days are open were extremely positive. So with what we're doing with PJ Junior League, Dick Albrighty and Barb and Steve running so many of those great programs, and we think about public golf, that's where I cut my eye teeth, was at a public golf course before I went to private. And, you know, it's such a great dynamic of being able to learn the game, being able to take your family out when my 32-year-old son calls my wife and says, I'm off Monday, let's go play. There's nothing like that.
Everything you said, absolutely true. You know, I see it in the music industry as well, that, you know, there were moments where it happened that the general economy hit a bottoming out or a low point, simultaneously with that particular industry hitting a mid-tier or a bottoming out point. Okay, it doesn't mean that golf is dying or dead. It's just that it happened that two cycles at the same time hit the same low point and created a double effect. It was triple in the music industry because file sharing happened at exactly the same time. But, you know, the sky was not falling. It's a natural thing that you have to ride it out. You know, and good courses like Crestwood have been able to do that. But jumping back into also your mentioning how golf is on the rebound, also because every single tournament this year, all three of the majors had phenomenal leaderboards. The best of all being at the Open Championship. Sure, Tiger Woods wasn't on there, but you don't judge a leaderboard right now by the star power of the player. You judge it by the quality of the player as he's playing at that particular moment. And right now, all the best players rose to the top of that leaderboard. It was astonishing, even more so, that Zach Johnson won, because you do not think of him as a track star of a golfer. You don't think of him as a guy that shoots 19, 20 under, even though he did win the John Deere last week at 16 under. You know, we were all looking more at Ricky Fowler, who who had won at Scotland. So Jack won the John Deere to give for with that score. So, you know, Jack proved that he's not just some plodder that's going to win when everybody else plays badly. There's a lot of great names on that leaderboard. It looks to me like golf finds a way. As I said to Barb once before, that old adage of where heroes don't exist, it's necessary to invent them, isn't true in golf, because there are always great players. They're always going to rise to the cream. It's a cyclical thing. Sure, sometimes you have, you know, some marginal players doing well and some of the better players aren't shining through as brightly, but the new generation has arrived. I think golf is in good hands. So that leads us into the PGA Championship, the flagship event for the wonderful PGA of America, and as I put it, the best party of the year, okay? The Masters is charming, it's Christmas in April, the U.S. Open's a great test, the Open Championships has an exotic charm, but you guys throw the best party. You're the most fun. So tell us a little bit about how excited you guys are to be coming back to Whistling Straits and have Pete Dye become front and center once again at a major championship.
Well, certainly Pete's an outstanding architect and a legend in his own right. He and Alice are just great people besides that. We've seen some of the phenomenal drama that Whistling Straits can present to the people. We're looking forward to a great championship. And, you know, Kerry Hagar, tournament director, chief championship officer, is just one of the best in the business at setting up the golf courses where players can really showcase their skills and play well. And, you know, every championship, we got our 20 PGA club professionals that we get to highlight and we get to talk about what they do each and every day to develop and promote the game of golf. And this year, I'm captain of the PGA Cup team, so we'll also have potentially two spots open for the team for a club pro that plays well there.
Now, tell us, has there been a decision made as to what's going to happen when a player gets in a bunker? Are all bunkers going to be hazards, or will players be able to ground their clubs this year?
No, all bunkers will be bunkers as it was the last time. And we'll just work hard to make sure everybody knows that.
Well, it's not that difficult when you put the sign up on every pillar, in every mirror, on every urinal, and on every locker. You know, it should have been readily apparent, and it certainly should have been readily apparent by the 72nd hole. I had the perfect position. I had Pete Dye on my right, and I had Herb Kohler on my left. And Pete looked at me, and his exact words were, "It's a bunker. I know it's a bunker because I put it there. I built it. I meant it to be a bunker. What the heck is he doing driving 70 yards?" And he said it like this. "I'm going to sit down driving 70 yards right on the 72nd hole. Anyway, nothing good happens when you drive 70 yards right on the 72nd hole. Just ask Phil Mickelson or Jean Vandeveld or anybody else." But standing right next to Pete, we went over that. We took a look where it was. And one of the more interesting things about this is if you go back and look at the tape of the broadcast, you actually see David Faraday standing in the wrong place. He's standing reporting what he said to everybody was the bunker where Dustin Johnson hit his golf ball. And when you take a look, it's nowhere near where the sky tracker was, and it's nowhere near where Dustin was actually standing. So it kind of added a little bit to the confusion. You know, I think that the PGA of America unfairly took some criticism with regard to that. There was nothing more you could have done. You told everybody the rule. You took extraordinary steps to tell everybody the rule by putting it on every locker and putting it on every mirror and putting it on every urinal. I mean, you know, the only other thing you could have done is stop the guy, handed it to him, made him read it and sign his initials, which, you know, you're not going to do. These guys aren't babies. As I said in my wrap-up article, Dustin reminded me of Roberto DiVincenzo. What a stupid he was, you know, to blow a chance like that on the 72nd hole. So it will be very interesting to see what happens there. It's a marvelous golf course. It's a cunning golf course, an intelligent one, but a fair one. It seems, you know, that perhaps 8-under might be the winning score once again, which means that it's hard enough to test the best players in the world, but easy enough to have enough excitement. So, you know, will we see Whistling Straits host a PGA championship in the near future?
Well, I'm sure it's going to be in the rotation conservatory. There's just so many great facilities that we can go to, and, you know, we'll just do one at a time and work it out from there.
Well, anyway, Barb and Alan, thank you both for coming on the show. It's been a real pleasure to have both of you. I look very much forward to seeing you at the PGA Championship, Alan, and here's hoping that all three of us can raise a glass in upstate New York and watch you try and hit the mighty 15th green in two.
Well, I look forward to it. See you at the championship and have a great Foles event, Barb.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Guys, we will be back with the last portion of the show. Bruce Moulton's going to join us. We're going to wrap up the British Open one more time and then segue us into the PGA Championship. I am Jay Klemma of the Golf News Radio Network, and you're listening to Jay's Plays. DJ Q, take it away.
We're at the end of another great Jay's Plays show, but thank you all so much for joining in. It's no fun doing this thing up here, but it sure is fun doing it for all of you guys, so thanks so much. I want to thank Fish for kindly letting me use their great music as the theme song for the show. Thanks, guys. I want to thank CyberGolf and Golf News Network, cybergolf.com/writerscorner. You can read me and all the other fine writers, and thegolfnewsnet.com/radio. Take us home, DJ Q.
Tune in next time for another great Jay's Play show on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Thanks, guys. Catch y'all next time.